Welcome to Voices from the Streets from the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. You'll learn how our dedicated staff and volunteers use the transforming work of God's Word to change the lives of the homeless and addicted. You'll hear the unpolished stories of the homeless and broken and the hope that brought them to freedom and a new future in Christ. Now, here's Executive Director Pastor Robert Briggs of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission.
It's great to be with you again this afternoon on Voices from the Streets. We are enjoying a series of interviews with various staff members and some of our graduates at the UGM. And today I have managed at last to get one of my dearest friends into the studio, much against his will, but he isn't tied up. He's here of his own volition. My good friend Scott Holman. Scott, great to have you at last.
Hi, Robert.
Scotty, we're going to have some fun this afternoon. We're going to chat about who you are and what you do at the mission and the blessedness of our friendship and all of that. And so I know you've just been really waiting, brother, to do this with me.
I've been avoiding it at all costs.
Well, it's great to have you here, brother, and we're going to chat together. We've been friends now for what, 14 years? 15 years?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we've known each other for about that. I first met you, Scott, when you walked in to Emmanuel Baptist Church in Midtown, and you came out into the lobby, and you told me that you think you might have become a Christian. Remind me a little bit more of the detail of that, because you remember it clearer, more clearly than I do.
November of 2011, I couldn't stop reading my Bible, and Holly, who's my wife at the time, was asking you, what is wrong with Scott? And you took my Bible and you opened it to 1 Peter and read to me, like newborn children crave pure spiritual milk, if indeed they've tasted that the Lord is good.
It's wonderful. I love that fact that I actually had a bit of wisdom at that time to actually do that, Scott. And of course, the wonderful thing about that was the Lord had done a great work of grace in your heart, Scott. Tell us a little bit today about, you know, where you came from, where you were born, where you grew up, and then a little bit about what led to your conversion to Christ.
We moved to Roseville in 1977. I was 10. Enjoyed high school like every high school, I thought, just sports and girls and, you know, what can I get a good grade without studying? But I came to faith in jail in December of 2010. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and so the Lord showed me my sin, and I was extraordinarily distraught. I prayed to Him for Him to take my life physically, but instead He gave me spiritual life.
Yeah, wonderful. Praise God, brother. And I still rejoice in the wonders of that. So you get converted, Scott, at the end of 2010, and you find your way to Emmanuel in November of 2011. I remember that year more because it was a month later my father died. And so that's what I remember maybe more. That, yeah, I do still remember very clearly meeting with you. I remember you asking me on that Sunday morning, well, I'm here now, what do I do next? And I think I just said to you, well, we'll have a gathering at 5:30, just come back in the evening. And you came back, and I thought, okay, what do you do next? And I said, well, we'll have a prayer meeting on Wednesday night. And you came back, and I thought, this guy must be serious. And of course, from there, you lived in Elk Grove, where I was at that time, and I remember then you just had a voracious appetite for the Word of God. I mean, I think at one time, I think you told me you were studying the Bible for about 8 hours a day. And I'm thinking, I'm a pastor and I'm not even doing that. But you just had a great hunger to learn, Scott, which we know was the work of the Spirit in your life at that time. And we rejoice in that. Eventually, you become a member at IBC. You and Holly are married, and you become part of our congregation where you are today. I think that when I look back on those early years of grace in your life, one of the standouts for me is when you used to come to my house and I was heading out to play indoor soccer, and you would come and you would bring your notebook and you would travel with me for 30 minutes in the car. and you would have the light on if it was dark, and you'd be asking me all these questions, and you'd be writing down the answers, and then you had to endure playing, watching me play soccer, and then you would come back. But the Lord used that, Scott, to teach you a lot about the things of God and how you grew in the Lord. But when I look at it now, I can see what the Lord was doing. He was forming you. He was laying a foundation in your life mm-hmm. that you've stood firmly on over the 15 years that we've been friends and we've known each other. At that time when the Lord had saved you, you had come out of jail, you've been saved, and the Lord has turned your life around. Then the door opened at the Union Gospel Mission. Mm-hmm. What's your recollection, Scott, of how that came about? I know I was involved in it, but I put you in touch with Tim, basically, and you ended up getting employed at the Union Gospel Mission, 14 years ago?
February was 12 years.
Yeah, 12 years, okay.
So you got an email. They were looking for an accounting assistant. You sent it to me, and I applied.
Yeah. And
that started the ball.
Yeah, amazing how that happened. So you came in to the Union Gospel Mission as an accounting assistant. Of course, at that time, as I was getting to know you, I knew that you had a peculiar sharpness of mind. I had no idea the depth of it, of course, because we were only getting to know each other. But you came in to the mission in those early days, just simply took the job that you could get mm-hmm. and came in. But as retirements took place at the mission, changes took place at the mission, as they always do, you ended up becoming the, I guess you'd call it CFO, the Director of Finance.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been in that role for how long?
Oh, the last 2-3 years.
Okay, so the last 2 or 3 years, your responsibilities, of course, had kicked on.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord, in his goodness, also provided you with an understudy and our dear brother Matt Byro, who the Lord used the mission to convert Matt a number mm-hmm. of years back. He's a young man that we have seen him grow. And we just recently made some changes at the mission, which has placed you now as my deputy director, which of course we rejoice in, because that means I can really tell you what to do now that I'm your direct boss. But the Lord is blessed in that regard, Scott, because in many ways, I think Pastor Tim would recognize this, that you've really been one of the major backbone servants at the Gospel Mission. But as Matt takes up the mantle, on the one hand, of the Director of Finance, and you take up the responsibilities of the Deputy mm-hmm. Director and having to endure me even more, what would you say, as you look back over the years of just your own experience at the mission, because you're one of the more experienced staff members, what would you say are some of the highlights, and what do you say are some of the challenges that you've encountered?
I love to see the men come through the program and come to faith in Jesus and want their lives changed, and you can see a twinkle in their eye when they come to believe, and a pep in their step, and just hope in the conversation. And I love to hear their testimony on the day of graduation and see them reconciled back to families and life as contributing members of society.
Right. That you used an interesting and important word there, Scott, hope. Because you and I know, and we had Brother Joe on last time as one of our chaplains, we know that most of the men who are coming in amongst us at the beginning are really hopeless.
They are.
They're really at the very bottom. And in many ways, and you've heard me say this, Scott, if they don't get into the mission for the help that they need, the next steps, though it may not happen immediately, it will happen, is death.
Mm-hmm.
And death without hope.
Yep.
Whereas we are actually offering them hope mm-hmm. in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do actually see that transformation mm-hmm. where men come in with a lack of purpose, a lack of direction, deep darkness, real hopelessness, mm-hmm. almost some of them to despair.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, when the Lord is pleased to work by his gospel in their lives, that transformation happens. And you mentioned the countenance even of the men
mm-hmm.
Changes quite obviously.
Oh, yes.
And you've seen that over the years with many more men than I have, because I've only been there on the campus for 7 months. You've seen it much more radically. What would you say is in many ways the reasons why men are coming onto the campus with a hopelessness? Because they're not all aware that they're sinners. Would you say that there are things in their lives that have made them hopeless, or circumstances perhaps that have caused hopelessness?
These men have lived lives of various degrees of tragedy, and they're slaves to sin, and they need to be freed.
Right, right. And I think it's fair to say, would you agree, Scott, that not all the men that are coming onto our campus have been deliberately pursuing real wicked lives. Some of them have actually fallen into difficult circumstances that have impacted their life, and they haven't coped well with it.
That's true. Homelessness and addiction is a complex,
right,
many different facets of it.
Right, yeah. And I think that's important for us, for our listeners, because I think sometimes people can think the only reason you're homeless is because you've done something bad. But in reality, there are complex reasons why someone can be homeless and hopeless.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's obviously why we exist, is to see men converted, highlight that reality. And yet at the same time, we have the challenges of our campus. Mm-hmm. And you've played a significant role, I know, in the stewardship of our campus, Scott. I mean, I know that you're a very conscientious guy. You're great with numbers. You've taken seriously and continue to take seriously your stewardship to take care of our facilities, to steward the things that come to us by way of it, particularly our food services. Mm-hmm. You also are very meticulous in the way that you budget for us. You're the guy, you with Matt, put the budget together and then we pass it as a board. Mm-hmm. What would you say are some of the biggest challenges that you face in terms of just the stewardship of our campus down there on Barron Street? Any issues that you found hard in terms of, you know, just keeping it running, keeping it organized?
The hardest thing for me is that sometimes we want more for the men in the recovery program than they want for themselves.
Right.
We have higher desires for them to come to faith and to succeed and to turn around, and some men just aren't interested in the solution.
Right.
And so the Lord just hasn't brought them to where they need to be quite yet.
Right. And we have, and that requires for us patience, mm-hmm. Wisdom, mm-hmm. which we don't always have, because we know that it's better to be on the inside of the campus with a bed and a shower and clean clothes and a meal, mm-hmm. than it is to be on the outside of the campus where it's a pretty rough life out there.
It surely is. Our donors have been fabulous to us over the years, keeping us operating, keeping us consistently and monetarily funded, and I can't thank them enough so that we can do what we do and be the hands and the instruments of God to these men.
Right, yeah. And because, of course, you've been very much a key servant in terms of the stewardship of the giving to the mission, you probably, of all people, know the most just how generous the Christian community is in the Sacramento area in supporting what we actually do.
They have been fabulous. When COVID came, they rallied around us. They kept us going. They increased our donations to the point where we were able to add another location for graduates to live in a transitional housing.
Yeah, our redemption house.
Our redemption house was funded by our donors.
Yeah, yeah. And we were able to just go out and buy the house without any debt, which was a wonderful blessing for us in terms of just our cash flow and our budget and our care with the Lord's money, because we're very conscious that that's what we're actually dealing with, is the Lord's money from the Lord's people. Right now, we're in the middle of a big renovation.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about that, Scott, in terms of just how it's come about, where we're at, and where we hope it will conclude with.
Wow, it's a three-part renovation. We finished the first part last year. We're in part two now. We're redoing our dining hall. It'll be finished in the next 3 to 4 weeks, and then we'll move on to our chapel where we conduct our evening gospel messages. And that'll take another 4 months or so after this phase.
Right, and so we're telling people Christmas. Mm-hmm. We're hoping it's Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
we'll see how Danny, particularly Danny Vanek, who is our project manager, mm-hmm. Can get it in. He's working hard. You're overseeing that with him. Mm-hmm. We are. I think the sheetrock's started to go on the last few mm-hmm. days in the dining room, so we're beginning to see it come in a little mm-hmm. bit. And really, what we're trying to do is move the mission into the 21st century in terms of our facility, upgrading it. Mm-hmm. It's long overdue, and I think in many regards, and it will be good for our guests.
We want them to have a warm, comfortable, encouraging experience, and of course, hear the gospel message.
Right, exactly. We want it to reflect in many ways the character of God, in goodness mm-hmm. And in mercy to them. And I'm excited about the chapel getting redone. I'm excited about, you know, the prospects of how many times hopefully the gospel will be preached in mm-hmm. there. And then the meals, well, we've got one of the best chefs in Sacramento, as in Christian Ocasey, in our kitchen, and you oversee Christian
has been a fabulous work and trophy of grace, God's grace to him, and the spark in his eye, and the joy that with which he serves the mission and the Lord is incredible.
Right, amen. And amen. we're so thankful for what Christian has brought leadership wise, not to mention the fact that he mm-hmm. definitely knows how to cook us a good dinner.
Aye.
So as we think of the new chapter, Scott, you know, I've been in the seat as executive director now for, well, just coming 7 months, I guess, or into my seventh month. You're now taking on the responsibilities as deputy. We hang out pretty much every day, even on mm-hmm. Sundays we do sometimes. As you look forward, we're both the same age, mm-hmm. Both born in that vintage year of 1967. There's no year quite like it. As you look forward, Scott, What are some of the hopes and the aspirations that you have as we look down the line? If we were, you know, let our donors here, our partners here, something of the dreams that we would love to see the Lord do something. He may not do it, but let's just dream for a couple of minutes.
Sure, I look forward to teaming with you and partnering with you maybe for another decade, if the Lord gives us 10 more years together. Along the way, we'd love to add a health department. We'd love to have the men in the recovery program. This chaplains do a fabulous job giving them spiritual recovery, but we'd like to give them a sort of a physical health check and see how they're doing, and perhaps that could come into be real. We'd love to get another maybe apartment complex so that the men after the Redemption House can move into another communal living, encouraging each other, holding each other accountable, but more long-term living, not in a transitional way. And then I think just in general, Sacramento needs more services for the ladies. A recovery program, maybe overnight stays, better showers. Not exactly sure how that looks, but thinking about it.
Right. So we're really looking for a couple of millionaires to be listening to this broadcast today, and they write us a big check, and then we can fire forward. But joking aside, or, you know, half joking aside, of course, it'd be great for folks to tie in with us on that. We definitely want to be more holistic in our approach mm-hmm. with regards to the physical. Brother Chris, who's an ex-Marine, our director of chaplaincy, has been doing a boot camp at 5 o'clock in the morning. Yep. You and I have not joined him for that. We usually get in at 6:30, 6:45. He's been getting some of the men up, and mm-hmm. they've been doing some exercise, because while Christian feeds them on the one hand, we've got to help them on the other hand to yep. Physical. We do hope that we would get some help from various nurses, doctors, mm-hmm. and all of that. And so if anyone's listening who might be interested in coming down and having a chat with us about these things, please feel free mm-hmm. To do that. The big buzzword in Sacramento, of course, in California, is affordable housing. Mm-hmm. We know that even my other love, which is the Sacramento Republic and the building of the stadium, which they would be our neighbour right there in the rail yards, have had some glitches as the affordable housing quotas have become a contentious issue. We recognise, as men who work amongst the homeless and who see men rescued and see men back into work, that affordable housing is a big challenge. And to your point, having affordable housing that we could potentially build some apartments for our men to have independent living, to get on with their lives, that would be wonderful in many ways. How we can do that, we're not sure. And I think one of the greatest things in the burden that we both have, because we both have three daughters too, is the ministry to women in our city, like you mentioned. And we really would love to see probably a separate campus, a separate work, but similar to the Union Gospel Mission, started in our city, that's unashamedly gospel-centered, like our own ministry, and is ministering to the least, the last, and the lost of the women in our city, because the abuse of women in our city is quite significant, and we meet them on Tuesdays, we meet them on Thursdays, but we don't have anywhere for them in the evenings, which is a dangerous thing for women to be out in the streets. And tragically, some of them come even with children. And that's another component. And so those three things that you're laying out, Scott, are really, very much the part of the vision that we have for the mission. And we know the Lord is able to supply our needs.
Absolutely.
We've seen that over the years. If you were to ask our listeners, as we draw things to a close this afternoon, what things should they be praying for at the Union Gospel Mission? A couple of key elements that you think, please just keep praying for this.
I just keep praying that we stay strong in helping these men, that we stay strong in our own faith, because we can't be of any use if we're not strong. Pray for the men, conversions, that the Lord works by the power of His Spirit to convert hearts and bring men to faith in the recovery program, and just that we lead well.
Amen.
Humbly and well.
Humbly and well. Excellent. Yes, I think that, you know, when we've been dividing up labour and trying to figure out how we want to apportion work at the mission, Scott's responsibilities with his gift for stewardship has been utilised in the whole realm of our facilities, the whole realm of our finances, the whole realm of our food services, where he oversees all of those particular aspects, allowing me to oversee our development, our women's ministry, and our chaplaincy ministry, and our chapel ministry. And together, we are wholeheartedly committed to what the Union Gospel Mission stands for, and that is to bring the gospel to those that are lost and those that are least in our city. We're thankful that churches do join with us in partnership. We're thankful for all the individuals who join with us in partnership. And as we move forward, please take to heart those things that Scott has mentioned today regarding our vision for the future. You know, the holistic approach to look after the physical as well as the spiritual, the health of the men, to think through and pray over possibilities for affordable housing beyond just our Redemption House. And of course, the whole challenge that we face in ministering to the women of Sacramento. We want to see, above all, the power of the gospel at work in the hearts and lives of the least, the last, and the lost. Well, Scott, thanks for joining me. Your ordeal is over, brother. It's all done. You don't have to worry about coming on again.
Thank you.
It's a wonderful joy for me to be here with my good friend and brother and colleague, Scott Holman. As you listen this afternoon to Voices from the Streets, I'm Pastor Robert Briggs, Executive Director of the Union Gospel Mission in Sacramento, where we have the privilege of reaching the least, the last, and the lost with the glorious message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Pray for us. Come for a tour. Go on our website at ugmsac.org, and you can find out more about our mission. Thank you for listening.
You've You've been listening to Voices from the Streets from the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission with Pastor Robert Briggs. We hope you've been moved by how God is in all they do for the homeless, addicted, and those struggling in our communities. They're honored to serve with daily meals, food boxes, clothing, and shoes, a 10-month recovery program for men, the New Life Ministry for women and children, safe shelter at night, mailboxes, chapel services, hygiene products, and showers. To learn more, donate either goods or financially, volunteer, or take a tour, visit UGMSAC.com.